Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. We're excited to welcome best-selling author Lori Nelson Spillman to our program today to talk to her not only about her literary journey, but also what it's been like for her to see the response to her brand-new book that I really enjoyed called The Star-Crossed Sisters of Tuscany. It not only, of course, is a book about place, but also about family, about friendship, love, relationships, and all the great things that I think all of us have to deal with no matter where we live in the world. We'll talk to Lori not only about the writing of the book, but also the way her readers are responding to it, and of course let you all know how to get your own copy of it. Lori, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. I appreciate you hosting me today.
Oh, the pleasure's definitely all mine. A lot of great things for us to talk about with the new book. But I want to talk about this journey for you, because one thing I noticed when I was prepping for this is that you not only have devoted readers, Lori, but you seem to truly enjoy being able to bring stories like this to life. What has it been like for you to see the way that people are responding to the new release?
Honestly, it is incredibly gratifying. I think that's the whole thing when I'm writing. My goal is to just, if I can touch one reader's emotion, if I can make them laugh or cry or feel something, that's my goal. And it's really incredible when I get a message from a reader saying that the book touched them. So, I'm super thankful for that.
I love the fact that you're able to really bring us into these characters, and we're going to get into a lot of what the book's about here, Lori, without spoiling it for those who haven't read it. But it's part of the fun kind of being able to slip into their skin and to experience the world and see the world as they do.
It's incredibly fun. And it's, for a writer, there comes a time where the characters really come alive, and you hear their voice, and they say things that you wouldn't say, or you didn't even know they would say. And it's kind of magic. It really is. So in the book, there are many very distinct personalities, from Nona Rosa, to who's old Italy and a bitter woman, to the light and joyful Aunt Poppy, from Amelia, who's kind of in her little shell of a world, to her very racy cousin, Lucy. So it was very fun to write these characters.
And just as much as you give us the characters, you also bring us into the place, and that in this book, of course, being Italy. Talk to us about that. I mean, do you find that when it comes to where you're going to set these stories, Lori, that it really is about not only places that you have found fascinating and gotten joy from, or how do you kind of decide on where you want these stories to take place?
Well, that's a great question. My husband and I went to Italy, and I knew I wanted to set a book there. It's just such a beautiful country, and I loved everything about it. So that was, the setting was, I was sure I was going to set a book in Italy. And we have dear friends who grew up in Brooklyn. They're Italian-Americans, and they've always told us stories of growing up in Brooklyn with this huge extended family. And I could just picture that setting too, of the aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas all living together and all the cousins playing, which is both a blessing and a curse. It's a great childhood, but also you don't have a lot of autonomy in a situation like that. So I combined the two settings. So the book begins in Brooklyn in this neighborhood of Bensonhurst, and then the two cousins are swept off to Italy with their great aunt Poppy.
Wow. Well, I think, you know, for people who are reading the book, I think there are a couple of things that they'll take away. One of the big ones for me is finding a place where you belong, Lori. I love the way that becomes almost a theme of the book, because it's so easy for us in the world for us to have people try to tell us who we are, right? Or try to tell us what our destiny will be. And again, we'll talk around this so we don't spoil it for our audience, but your characters kind of have to deal with that. You know, will they be what others think of them, or can they be something more? I mean, did you know going in that that was going to be a part of what these, especially the sisters, had to deal with?
I knew that the curse was going to be part of it, which is this 200-year-old curse on the Fontana family that states that the second-born daughter will never find lasting love. And I loved that idea because exactly what you said, people tend to live up or down to their expectations. And in this case, the second daughters, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So they're expected never to find love, and they don't. And the book then gets them thinking in a different way about themselves. And I think we're all victim to that at times, where we hear something. I'll read 9 great reviews and 1 bad review, and I ruminate on the bad review. So I think we're all prone to believing the, you know, things that people say about us, and it's hard to break out. And as far as finding the home, that place that really calls to us, sometimes I feel like I haven't found my home. I was born and raised in Lansing, and I came back here after college and met my husband, and I'm still here. And it's a fine place. I have lots of family and friends, but there's so many other places. And when I'm near water, that's the place that calls to me. And in the book, Poppy, when she gets to the Amalfi Coast, that's her home. So I think the exploration of that is fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think that is the thing. And I think, too, you know, I love the fact that you talk about the self-fulfilling prophecy, because I think it also shows, as we're reading the book, Lori, that there are times where we find ourselves at a crossroad. In the chapter for Emilia, in chapter 33, the whole thought of you know, being needed, being wanted, and that there being a place for you, I think is one of those things, you know, that all of us want. There is such conflict in this book, but I love the way that, again, that you give it to us, because it really shows that anywhere in the world, you know, all of us really just want the same thing, and that is to feel like we belong. What was it like for you to kind of see that struggle for them, Lori, in the book, you know, feeling as though, you know, they did not belong, that they did not have a place that was their own?
Exactly. And I think they sort of fooled themselves into thinking they did. And I do believe a lot of us do that, and myself included at times, where you think the inertia to stay in your comfort zone is so strong sometimes. So they lead these very small lives in the town that they grew up in. And it's scary to break out. But I loved when they finally did, and when they find their voices and their true selves, and rising up against the family dynamics and the older people, Nona, for example, their grandmother, who has always treated Emilia so poorly. And so it was very fun and gratifying for me to see Emilia come into her own, to her Aunt Poppy.
It really is a great thing. I'm curious, you know, one of the things we have not talked about is the obvious, Lori. I'm sure this is not exactly the release schedule that you would want. I'm sure, you know, I think all of us have had to make adjustments this year, and you are probably spending a lot more time virtually than you probably thought you would with this book release. What has that been like for you to navigate that? It's so interesting that we're talking about navigating the world, right, as it is. Your characters are doing it, and you're having to do it too. So what has that been like for you to find creative ways to be able to engage with your audience?
That's really funny. It's true. It was supposed to come out in April, and right before the release, my publisher decided to postpone it, knowing that 7 months later, surely this coronavirus would be history. Little did they know it's at an all-time high. But,
right.
You know, Cyrus, I'm pretty much an introvert. So it's kind of, I'm okay with the virtual. Last night I did the big book launch in my local indie store via Zoom, which was just fine. It's a little nerve-wracking because I'm not very techy, but once I'm on, it's kind of nice to be in the comfort of my home. And people have been so nice. I think who would want to sit in on a Zoom on a Tuesday evening? But I had a lot of people join in and ask questions. So it's been very fun. And there's also, interestingly, there's been a lot of silver linings in the delay of the release, because when it was scheduled in April, everything was going fine. But with the November release, October, we got news that it was going to be a Book of the Month Club pick. And then we got news that it was going to be an Indie Next pick and a Library Read selection. So a lot of silver linings in delaying the release that I don't think would have happened had we had the April schedule.
Yeah, it's. I think, you know, I'm one of those firm believers that things happen when they're supposed to happen. But I think also that one thing I can say about we as readers, though, Lori, is that we're just glad to have the distraction from life. So we will take a new book whenever it comes, because it gives us somewhere else to go, right? For sure. So what is your hope? I mean, you've given us such a great, colorful cast of characters in this book. When people finish a book, I know you want them to be entertained. What do you hope, if there was a theme, what do you hope that they kind of take away from it, Lori?
I hope that it's hope. I really like to have a hopeful book where people can think, maybe I could do that, or maybe I could change my life. Maybe I could step out of my comfort zone, or it's not too late for me. I think my whole journey has been... As an example, I was a very late author. I didn't release my first book until I was 52. So I think if a reader can come away from my novels and feel some sort of hope, personal hope, that would be terrific.
Well, it is a great read. I know our audience will enjoy it, and I'm so glad that you could join us to talk to us about it. Again, everyone, we're excited to welcome bestselling author Lori Nelson Spillman to our program. Her new book is The Star-Crossed Sisters of Tuscany. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore. So make sure you guys head over and get your copy either in print or the Kindle edition. You all can get it there as well. And Lori, how can our audience stay connected with you?
My website is LoriNelsonSpielman.com. I'm on Facebook at Lori Nelson Spielman Author, Twitter, LN Spielman, and Instagram at Lori Nelson Spielman. It's a mouthful, I know.
Well, look, we are so glad to be able to speak with you. Thank you so much again for the time, Lori. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to our next conversation together.
I look forward to it, too. Thank you so much, Cyrus. Take good care.
You're more than welcome. You as well. Thank you. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make today amazing. Take care.